Who are domain alphas? How can you be one if you aren't one already?
The way we are defining alpha with respect to founders is an ability to do something that others can't consistently.
We've seen enough examples where people building in domain do have an edge.
Founders with domain alpha seem to have a much higher hit rate. He said, I know how to do this, and I'm going to build in such a way, when I launch, that launch will be built for scale.
Companies that basically catch on to a new trend line before incumbents do?
A lot depends on sort of how a domain alpha creates the org and creates a culture.
Hi, and welcome to Matrix Moments. Vikram, great to do this one with you. At Matrix, we are privileged because we have the opportunity to partner with founders as they create value for themselves as well as everyone around them. And we've done a bunch of these podcasts on founders, started with experienced founders, then we did Infinity Founders, then we did Digital Industrialists, and now we're doing Domain Alphas. So this is an addition to that library. We should get through the questions, but for me, starting with who are Domain Alphas? How can you be one if you aren't one already? What are the common blind spots if you are one? But before I give the punchline away, welcome to the podcast.
It should be clear to all viewers that we love founders of all types. And then we love coining all of these terms and about founders. Let me start with alpha first. And what alpha is, it comes from an investor term. Any investor that can consistently beat market has alpha, and they have a source of that alpha. So the way we are defining alpha with respect to founders is an ability to do something that others can't consistently. So that's alpha. And we talk about it a lot at Matrix, as you know, on what someone's alpha is. What's yours?
Mine?
Yeah.
I thought you said last review that I didn't have any alpha, but on a more serious note, I guess in venture, there's obviously an opportunity to meet people, to network, to basically know when founders are starting. I'd like to believe that I have that network and that's some edge. Plus, I think pattern matching, especially global pattern matching with that global insight, is something I hopefully think I bring to the table as with founders, but that's for you to judge, not me, or founders to judge.
That alpha I'll definitely agree with. Everybody knows you, you know everybody. So that alpha is not questionable.
Either you're a domain alpha as a founder, or you're going up against someone who has alpha.
I didn't fully define domain alpha. So one is alpha, which is ability to do something that others can't consistently. And the question is, what is the source of that? And for a certain set of founders, it comes from having spent years in a particular industry, living that particular customer or consumer's life. And then they are just making a lot of decisions based on that domain expertise. That is what is a domain alpha. There are all types of founders. Other founders might have an alpha. Somebody might have something that comes from product expertise or very deep technical expertise. For the purposes of this discussion, we are focused on domain alphas where they have domain expertise and that's driving their alpha over a period of time to create their company.
Makes sense. And I guess the reason to kind of spend time on this is also, it's just empirical data now that we've seen enough examples where people building in domain do have an edge. And they do have an unfair advantage. And you can see it in the large companies that have gotten created. And a few examples close to home. I'm sure you have many other examples as well. But if I look at fintech, a sector that you've invested in, there's Jiten, the founder of Jupiter, Anurag, the founder of OneCard. Outside our portfolio, you know, Varun, for example, of Mamaearth, you know, built a great company with his background and experience. So there are enough examples now of these folks that are creating disproportionate value in the market. So maybe it makes sense to double click on these. I think you set it up saying, you know, what is alpha and what is domain? But maybe if you could kind of unpack, why does this alpha matter? And how does it actually translate into company performance?
So overall, why this domain alpha matters is that empirically across our portfolio, we've seen that founders with domain alpha seem to have a much higher hit rate. And we try to unpack why they have a much higher hit rate. And net for me, it comes down to this. In the early stages and then over time as well, they are more right than wrong. And in the early stages, there are so many questions to answer as the founder of a company. And if you get a bunch of answers right, those right answers compound over a period of time and suddenly you're far ahead of your competitors. That's what it comes down to. Now, what are those kind of decisions? So the first is PMF. And in the early stages, we are seeing that domain alpha founders are able to get to PMF faster. And I'm saying faster in air quotes, because sometimes they take much more time to build the product, But the first version of the product hits. And therefore, overall, they've taken less time to get to PMF. And when we try to figure out why are they getting to PMF faster, or why is the first product having, you know, more hits than misses, it's because of the lived experience of the consumer or customer that they have for the last 10, 15 years of their life. They've been selling to the same consumer, they've been selling to the same customer. So they intuitively know, hey, this is right or this is wrong when I'm presenting something to my user. And therefore, they get more things right when it comes to product. And even if they're not a product person, they can actually be they can couple with a great product designer and create a first product which has early PMF.
And I think maybe part of PMF is also just picking the right problem statement to begin with, right? Like they perhaps have a better understanding of the opportunity in their sector than some others who are not as native. Is that fair?
Absolutely. They have a sharp definition of the problem statement. And sometimes they also have a sharp definition of the, you know, what is the question in the operating model that they're looking to solve. So, for example, OneCard is a great example. Anurag built the ICICI cards business along with his co-founders, Rupesh and Vibhav, have lived cards business forever, know exactly who that credit card user is. And they knew that the core problem is to acquire enough users at the right cost in order to build their cards business. And so they didn't start with a cards business right from scratch. They started with a score product. And they used the score product to help identify who's the right set of users. But because they had lived this cards business for so long, they knew they had to potentially get to millions of users before they got to their first 10,000 users to whom they could give their card. Similarly, they also got a lot of operating model choices right. I remember for the first 12 months, Anurag took it very slow and they were building. They were building their card stack, they were building their product. And in that meantime, lots of people launched. And as good anxious VCs, we kept asking him, why aren't you launching? And he said, I know how to do this and I'm going to build in such a way that when I launch, that launch will be built for scale. And as very often with VCs and founders, the founder was right. And that was absolutely the right call.
And I think maybe another example, going back to, you know, Bhavish's journey of picking where to play with an EV. And there were enough people who said, listen, you know, the Tesla of India will be a company that builds for four-wheeler. And his answer was absolutely no. A, it will be the Ola of India and the Ola for the world. And it will be two-wheeler first. Plus, it will be a premium product. I think lots of choices on what problem to go after, which segment of the market. I guess Domain Alphas just figure out the right problem statement sooner.
I think you bring up a good point. One is the Domain Alpha founder, but there are also Domain Alpha teams. And what we've seen with both the Domain Alpha founders and teams is that they go and get the best talent from everywhere. And if you look at Bhavish's journey at Ola Electric, yes, he came from the mobility space, had a clear view on the user, what they needed, but then he knew what are the things that he didn't know. He hired the best people from GM to come in and actually lead his factory. He got the best people from Reliance to actually go and build the project and supervise the actual construction of the project because he had the ambition to build the largest two-wheeler factory. So he knew he needed to get the best construction experts or construction project management guys that he could find. So really know the user, get to first product market fit faster, great followership or ability to go and hire the best talent in order to build your company. And last but definitely not the least, they navigate crises better. And in India, every other year, there is a crisis. I heard this line from a founder once that a black swan event in India is a year where there is no black swan event. So there's always something that always happens and in India. And it is part of the process of building a digital ecosystem rapidly. And in each of those crises, it's even more important that you make right decisions in the shortest period of time. And because these domain alphas have lived through other crises in those industries, they end up making more right decisions.
On this show, there will be lots of founders who are in domain and building in domain that they understand, but there are others as well who may have an interest in an area that they don't have past experience in. So what if you're not a domain alpha? Maybe you are an alpha, but you don't have the domain expertise. What should you do then?
And I think it's going to be 50-50 between people who are starting in domain, people who are starting out of domain. I think it's important to recognize that if you're starting out of domain, you are likely that your hit rate outside of your domain is lower. We had a founder who was a consumer founder who we invested in our previous fund, and he started building in SaaS. He was a consumer internet CXO, started building in SaaS, and one and a half years into the journey, he just realized he was up against people in domain who were just making decisions intuitively. And the SaaS journey was not intuitive to him. He gave back all of our money, and then we ended up funding him again. This is Anil Gatiti of Scapia, and we've actually shared his journey in another podcast on Scapia. And he returned our capital, and we ended up funding him, which was a much more consumer-oriented company. And automatically, those decisions just started flowing for him. So he's starting outside of domain, likely that you don't have as much of that lived experience, and therefore the odds are stacked against you. So what do you do to stack odds in your favor? That's the question. So I think the first thing that you can do is to focus on the founder market fit, and which is, what are you really good at? And as a founder and founding team, you might know something, for example, about a particular set of users or a particular set of buyers, more so than anything else. And then you can shift the business model or sector. And we've actually gone through a couple of these with founders. And these are two examples that I'm going to share where we haven't announced the investment. So we're going to bleep out the name if you haven't announced those investments. So this company, the founder actually started up in SaaS the last time around. And he sold his last company. And he wanted to do something else, which was in financial services and fintech this time around. The reason he chose that is because he had sold to a whole bunch of bank CXOs before, and he really knows the bank CXOs. So even though he's building a different company this time around and a different sector, he chose a business where he had founder market fit, and he was walking in with a Rolodex. Another example of a founder who is out of domain are the founders of Ulka. Both UK and Anuj are not essentially from domain, but UK helped build Meesho right at the top over the last 6-7 years. And he really knows how to sell to this particular type of user who, call it, are the next 100 million, who are not essentially the top level of e-commerce users. And that's the same set of users that he's going after in this next journey, which is a financial services journey. Start with founder market fit. The second thing that we've seen founders do really well, if they're not from domain, is to immerse yourself in the consumer or customer journey. Don't write a line of code. Don't try to build a product. Do nothing but talk to your users for the first 6 months because you don't have that lived experience and you need to catch up. And even then, you will not catch up because, and I think on a continuous basis, you just have to keep living that user's journey. Then you can potentially catch up on the lived experience of that particular industry or that particular user.
It sounds like domain intuition is key. And if you don't have it, you can try and short circuit the journey, but there's no getting around the fact that you have to build it. And so I guess the choice is to just build that domain expertise. And it takes me back to another company that we're very close to, which is Off Business, which we're very privileged to be in business with Ashish, Ruchi, Bhuvan, and the team. Ashish was not an e-commerce entrepreneur or a B2B e-commerce entrepreneur on day one and didn't come from the digital domain. But he's a good example of how someone who just lived that consumer's experience and just basically spent so much time with that user that he kind of just understood all the pain points in that entire user's journey.
I think you make a good point on not short-circuiting this journey. And I think with Ashish, and I know we're going to cover another example on Country Delight with Chakri, and they let the compounding happen over the first few years. They didn't rush into things. And, you know, both these companies now look very, very big and are very high growth companies. But they actually got off to pretty slow starts. They built brick by brick sustainably, really learning, in the case of Ashish, the B2B commerce business, which supply chains work, how do you manage risk, How do you actually give credit in these markets? And the first few years were slow. And once they were clear that they actually had that domain intuition, then they went for broke. Similarly, with Chakri, who's the founder of Country Delight, that's essentially a grocery brand, with a subscription commerce business. And it started with milk. And milk is very, very hard. And most people, if you say you're investing in milk, they'll say don't. Most people say you're starting up in milk, they'll say don't. Because it's just a very hard business. And Chakri started from the ground up. He started with a cattle farm and said, what are the
problems? Bought cows.
Bought cows. What are the problems with a cattle farm? What happens along the supply chain that makes this business so hard? And he let that compound. And I think he started selling under the brand maybe more than a year after he started with the cattle farm.
Yeah.
And so they didn't try to short circuit that process. Built a very, very solid base in that domain. And once they started getting confident about the kind of decisions they were making, then they were off to the races.
Yep. I guess another category is companies that basically catch on to a new trend line before incumbents do. So again, if you're not in domain and you are an alpha, but you want to basically excel, then maybe picking a trend line that others aren't spending as much time on is another way to build.
Because there is no domain alpha there in some sense, right? Because, and we're going to talk about it, the domain might hold you back from taking a big leap of faith on a new trend line. But if you have potentially technical expertise or product expertise, which helps you capture a new trend line, that's one way in which you can outdistance the domain alphas.
Maybe finally, if you don't have it as a founder or as a immediate founding team, maybe there's a way to actually bring it in-house by building a team around you that has it or acquiring a team that has it. And again, there are good examples there too, some in our portfolio as well.
That's a great point, Rajinder. So I remember in Daily Hunt, we started with a very different business at Verse. Veer Gupta is the founder, phenomenal founder, product first guy. Then we ended up with a business in News Hunt, which became Daily Hunt. And suddenly we were running an ad sales business. And nobody in the team had any business running that ad sales business. And Viru said, who's the best ad sales guy in the country? And he ended up hiring Umang Bedi, who was the CEO of Facebook India at that time, had built some of the best ad sales businesses in the country. And he came on board as a co-founder. And in some ways, when you have to hire that kind of domain alpha into the team, you have to make space for them. And I think Viru did that beautifully.
Yeah, no, I remember that decision very clearly. So we've covered, domain alphas and why it matters. We've also covered, if you're not a domain alpha, what are the examples where you can build it or, bring it in-house. I guess the final one is, if you are a domain alpha, what should you worry about? And we've coined this interesting term called the alpha's dilemma, which is a play on the innovator's dilemma. But I guess the crux of it is sometimes domain can hold you back and you don't spot things that others can. And maybe trendline is one, but there could be other things as well.
Yeah, and we've not coined this this term, you have. And you're really good at these terms, and I love alpha's dilemma. And what is that alpha's dilemma? It's, the way I think about it is that sometimes your domain expertise is sort of weaponized or creates barriers for you to actually do the right thing for your particular user, for the particular new trend line, and whatever is new that is happening. I think it is a lot depends on sort of how a domain alpha creates the org and creates a culture in that organization, such that they're usually fostering very high curiosity, very high degree of outside in signals around the particular consumer, very high intellectual honesty, which is encouraged, and people are always challenging their ideas. And that overall, I think, atmosphere of curiosity and questioning then make sure that it prevents all of the barriers on sort of new trend lines and so on that domain alphas can struggle from. And so if you create that good culture versus a cult, which just takes the domain alpha's views as gospel, I think you'll still be okay.
Yeah, because I mean, I can think of examples right here where like the two or three largest e-commerce companies at the time just completely were not focused on the zero commission business model or social commerce in as big a way as they could have at exactly the point of time when those two trend lines kind of inflected. or automakers today not focusing as much on EV as they should be. There are just so many of these examples.
Or mobile wallet folks who didn't adopt UPI fast enough. And that led to probably the largest payment companies getting created of a completely new trend line.
No, so makes perfect sense. Conclusion, parting thoughts?
Alpha is important because then you can't create, if you don't have it, then you can't create something differentiated and large over a period of time. One source of that alpha is domain alpha, which comes from your specific domain expertise. If you're a domain alpha, then the battle is yours to lose. So you have to guard against the alpha's dilemma and make sure that you're creating a culture around you such that you're getting all the right signals and the alpha is not preventing you from getting onto new trend lines and so on. Now, let's say you're not from domain. Spend the time, compound slowly, make sure that you're immersing yourself in that particular user, and at times, just hire from that domain. And of course, if you catch a new trend line, that keeps you ahead of the domain alphas.
Thanks, Vikram, for calling out this domain alpha topic as one that we should do. So inviting all the founders, alphas, domain alphas, and those who want to build domain alpha. But thank you. Appreciate it.